All right, Bioneers. Thank you for your patience. Those of you who have been here for a while, watching the show in the making. Anyway, we're going to have an incredible night, and without further ado, it is my pleasure to welcome Carolyn Casey.
Woof. So to love disharmony back into harmony creates a greater harmony than existed before. Ladies.
I wonder if the sun debates dawn some mornings, now wanting to rise out of bed from under that down feather horizon. If the sky grows tired of being everywhere at once, adapting to the mood swings of the weather. If clouds drift off, trying to hold themselves together, make deals with gravity to loiter a little longer. I wonder if rain is scared of falling, if she has trouble letting go,
if snowflakes
get sick of being perfect all the time. Each one, you know, come on now, one of a kind. I wonder
if stars
wish upon themselves before they die, if they need to teach their young how to shine. I wonder
if shadows long to just
for once feel the sun. If they get lost in the shuffle, not knowing where they're from, I wonder
if sunrise
and sunset respect each other, even though they've never met. If storms have regrets,
if volcanoes
get stressed, if compost
believes
in life after death. I wonder
if breath
ever thinks of suicide. If the wind just wants to sit still sometimes and watch the world pass him by. If smoke
was born
knowing how to rise. If rainbows get shy
backstage,
not sure if their colors match right. I wonder
if lightning needs an alarm clock to
know when to crack. If rivers ever stop and think of turning back. If streams meet the wrong sea and their whole lives run off track. I wonder
if the snow
wants to be black.
If
the soil thinks she's too dark.
If butterflies want to cover up
their marks. If rocks are self-conscious of their weight.
If mountains
are insecure of their strength. I wonder
if waves
get discouraged crawling up the sand, only to be pulled back again to where they began. If land feels stepped upon, if sand feels insignificant, if trees
need to question their lovers
to know where they stand.
If branches waver at the crossroads, unsure of
which way to grow.
If leaves understand
they're replaceable,
and they still dance
when the wind blows. I wonder where the moon goes when she is in hiding.
I want to find
her there
and watch the ocean spin
from a distance.
Listen
to her
stir
in her sleep. Effort give way to existence.
Thank you.
Climbing Poetry, Naima Penniman and Alexa Garcia. We are in cahoots, in experimental cahoots, as we all are. Congratulations for everybody getting here at three different times. That's fantastic. It is all completely in keeping with now, as friends say, keep your knees bent, because it's a wild tide that we're all riding in a collective way, customized personally. We're all pummeled into flexibility, going, whoa, confronted with complexities that the human mind is not prepared to resolve without the guiding intelligence of nature. Ha! So it is a wild and cuckoo interesting flexible time, so it is great to gather at the center of the storm here, so we're not flacked around the edges. We gather with Oya, the principal of the trickster, who hurls her horsetail whip, summons the storm, stands in the middle, we stand with her. So for many of you who have hung with me before, you know Muti. Muti means power and medicine. It's from the Sangomas of South Africa. And it's any dedicated powder. I have tobacco from the Syria-Turkey border, much beloved to me, coyote hair, all of those things, but it's again with our dedication. So we know that true power is that which heals. So we say, O spirit of the compassionate trickster, within each one of us, waiting backstage for this moment in time, you know, connect us to all that is wild and good out there in the world, that our dedicated hearts may magnetize opportunity for us to do the most good while having the most serious fun. May it be so. So we are calling it in. It is a delight to be here, O audience of the age. Let me go into Scheherazadean mode. O audience of the age, O pioneers gathered with dedicated good hearts, you know, solution. So part of our dedication tonight to animate the guiding mythological astro-political story of now. I am Coyote Network News, mythological news service for the trickster redeemer within us all. That always flummoxes conservatives when I tell them that. They go, oh, that sounds cool. But you can think of it as Democracy Now on mushrooms. It's the entheogenic news. It's the kinship news. It's the sine qua non trickster medicine. It's the without which nothing, because it renders all the other dedicated social action medicines effective. So, you know, the Thais say, you know, because we were never colonized, we never lost our animism, our sense that everything's alive and cooperators are standing by. So, you know, the colonized mind is like, oh, hard work by ourselves, oh, humanism. Okay, but no, we are here, democratic animism again, to call and respond, to call things in. So you know how when lightning strikes, it must be met by a corresponding receptive upwelling from the earth. And so that's what we're igniting right now, our receptivity, you know, our willingness to be struck by ingenuity. Terry Pratchett says, genius is always sleeting through the universe until it finds a receptive molecule. And we go, Shakespeare, or each one of you, fill in your name. So we are here to go backwards. Everything is speaking to us in vernacular. You know, your nearest exit may be behind you. We want to go backwards, and objects in mirror may be closer than they appear. All of these things have a resonance to them. But we want to go all the way back to honor Venus and to bring Venus and Mars into accord within ourselves, that we may be agents of this balance. So if we go way back in our bones and blood, we know that the power of Venus art was central to culture. And that the purpose of art, one of its many purposes, was to call power into the world and then offer it a template. Come on in, power, and here's a metaphor. Here's a painting. It's the earliest form of human theater in solstices and equinoxes. Come on in, O literal and symbolic light of sun, and illumine this passage of writing, this painting at the back of the cave. So it's that early theater again. So we invite power in, and then we offer it a template. So part of what the astro-political guiding meta-story of now would like to do for all good-hearted people is, let's have our language and our metaphor be in accord with our dedication. So we're inviting power in, you know, offering it templates. So when Venus and Mars are out of accord, we might say, the world is being destroyed by hyper-yang Mars, uninitiated Mars death frenzy. And it is Venus that initiates Mars, Venus the receptive, Mars woof in service to beauty, which is why it is so seriously fun we are beginning our tour, Climbing Poetry and I, because they really, for me, also embody woof dedicated to beauty, Right, so Woof dedicated to beauty. We want Mars, we want Coyote. We've all been confronted, you know, even in the recent days maybe, with things that get our goat, but we get our goat back. Our goat is ungettable and unscapable. We go, and every time our goat gets got, it comes back even friskier and more disobedient than before it got. So again, and again, power's happy to animate that metaphor. So we go, there we go. So as we look around the world, we go, you know, Mars without Venus is very it's a very short bench. It has really no solutions. It's like we can either bomb them or kill them or pillage or destroy it. We don't got much else. So Venus initiates Mars, and we say, you know, in all of nature, in South Africa, there were elephants, rogue teenage male elephants that were goring rhinoceroses and keeping the other animals away from the water and doing un-elephant things. And the rangers said, well, we're going to have to kill them all. And then they thought, and they said, no, wait, we killed all of their elders. So what they did was they brought in elder elephants who were like, no, you do not, this is just, and they were like, oh, okay. Had to teach them elephant manners. And if we look around the world at every crisis, it's not isolated crises, it's a crisis of isolation, it's all one story. And we might say Venus is about manners. You know, what distinguishes our species aside from our bad manners? Well, we go, it might be our capacity to borrow and invite in at gatherings such as this qualities of medicine derived from our favorite plants and animals that we may be their agents. So we are, let's say that mythological figures, deities, are incarnational metaphors of intrinsic intelligence in nature. You know, so we invite all those with which we are willing to cahoot, right? Yes, we want to conjure all positive deities. We're going to be calling them in as we go. So Venus says, art calls power in, and dedicated acts of beauty trump tyranny every time. We're putting these words out there from a wonderful book by Dion Fortune, who was a great Kabbalistic scholar in Britain in the 40s, and she has a books all about Isis, the real Isis, the goddess of nature. And she says, any woman in her fullness is an agent of Isis. And there's one micro moment that's just really useful. Her great character, Morgan Le Fay Morgan, priestess of Isis in modern world, and she says, you know, the purpose of ritual magic was always for dedicated humans to spiral into group mind, expanded wisdom and tolerance. And we who are here now gathering solutions, you know, have the opportunity and the responsibility to spiral into the memosphere, an expanded repertoire of responses to be available to all those who are in hot, reactive circumstance. You know, many ways of doing things. But there's a great moment in the novel Moon Magic in which she's set up things, she's, you know, out, nothing's going well. It's kind of like many of our last couple of days going, and nothing's going well, and she's outside, and she goes back inside, and she sees the humble vase of flowers that she'd put on the table with the dedication, with the intention that it serve as an invitation for Isis to enter the world. And she sees the moon shining through the window, you know, and she feels this incredible downrush of energy, like, and she goes, it didn't matter what my mind was thinking or that things were kerfuffled. The dedicated act serving as an invitation had clearly been accepted, and in the language of the adepts, I was back on my contacts. So may it be so for all of us. Dedicated acts of beauty, we're back on our contacts. So even just little bits of, as we are here, we know the mega story, we go, you know, dominance, empire, row, you bastards, then begins to run on fossil fuels, now it's collapsing on its own infrastructure, you know, Pluto, death, rebirth in Capricorn, underneath Uranus, ingenuity, trickster in Aries, culture of reverent ingenuity rising from the rubble. I said this every year, but I can't help it. It's why cable news is brought to us by Viagra, because Empire just can't get it up anymore. There we go. So to tease, you know, all of us get to fill our magic backpacks and take it away with useful things that we want to play with. the power of language. So let us, the nature of now is powerful deconditioning. So we go back to our original instructions. What did we come here to do? The wonderful phrase, to dree our weird, to play our role in destiny, Celtic phrase, and we go, yes. So everything becomes measured by, is it kind of supplicant, engaged in either supplicating or being dominant, or is it, frisky and collaborative? So, many people say speak truth to power, and I go, yeah, but it's a little bit of like a speak truth, be power. Yeah. Why fool around? It's also, like the chants on the street. What do we want? Peace. When do we want it? Now. Okay. What are we creating? Peace. When are we creating it? Now. Invited in, that it's not just us. So Venus says, magic is simply a willingness to cooperate with everything. And also let all natural facts be social strategy metaphors. When people go, I really want to make my plans concrete. And we go, no, maybe not concrete. And let all natural facts be social strategy metaphors, meaning whatever we love, loves us. Whatever we love, we are its agent, but a collaborative agent. And again, Venus says, when we don't know what to do, we are invited to wonder. Wonder turns our body into a beseeching chalice, invitational chalice of inquiry. I wonder what the bleep I'm supposed to do. Oh, wonder attracts the electricity, especially now. So democratic animism, the things I always carry with me in my magic backpack is two conversations, one with a Lakota elder who said, we Lakota didn't hunt alone. Every important gathering, those gifted would go into meditative backstage and broker a deal with the wolves and coyotes, and we would all hunt together for a season. And if you want to destroy a culture, destroy its capacity to collaborate across species borders. So that part of all of us in an ancient way, would have gone backstage and then emerge going, all right, it wasn't completely easy. The coyotes want the front left leg of every other deer and half the liver, and the wolves are cool with that and the deer are cool with that. All right, everybody back on stage. Now, backstage and on stage, we are backstage now. I mean, we're here. We're always backstage and on stage simultaneously, but we're backstage to diving to this quite amazing solar eclipse on October 23rd. We won't see it, but it'll be the sun, the moon, and Venus all exactly lined up at zero Scorpio. Venus at her deepest underworld mojo. So we go, ooh. So we're backstage getting ready for that. And everything has meaning if we are, if we take things back further and excavate them and liberate them. So I love saying, so many people don't know why the green room backstage is called the green room. And it's called the green room from Greek theater because it's sacred to Dionysus, the green man. So every actor, regardless of their role on stage, would dedicate themselves to the flora and fauna of this earth before they went on. So in that sense, we're in the green room together with each other. So, and borrowing qualities, to protect wolves, become more like wolves. I lived with a part wolf, learned much, very civilized, and I've lived with Stella Coyote, a coyote, longer than I've lived with a human. I sometimes ponder what that means. But all of the qualities from coyote are useful to us now. When there are traps that we want to dance around, what coyotes do, they watch humans laying traps, and then they follow along behind them, and then they dig up the traps, and they've learned how to set the traps with a stick, and then they pee all over them. We go, that's something to take away with you. Whenever you find yourself in a trap, just remember, dig up the trap, spring the trap, and then pee all over it. So the model of Venus and Mars, Uranus the trickster says to all of us, we are big gods. We don't really even care what you do. We care the manner in which you do it, that it be from freedom and choice. So as we play with language and metaphor, we can use the word fight over and over again if we want to. It's very hot. It's very Mars. But we want to know, fighting climate change. We go, ooh, it's a very hot word in an already too hot world. How about we're going to engage the ingenuity of humans to cooperate with nature? I know it's a little long, but it's, but we got time for that. So, for instance, it's also just, again, wondering, you know, the word impact, impact investing, and then also major right-wing Tea Party impact media and impact this. And we go, okay, I myself like putting the hyphen there, so it's imp-act. But impact, it's, you know, it's like, do you want a hard, fast thing? I mean, it's a Mars straight-ahead thing. We go, sometimes, yeah. I mean, if you're dying of a heart attack, you might want, whoo. But we really also want an impact for long-term curvy influence. And the curve also, the Venusian curve is the snaky thing. You know, in all creation myths, there's usually a garden, a tree, a woman, a snake, and sometimes a guy. You know, and it has how that story is told has everything to do with what happens to that culture, and how we told that story is why we're all here in the pickle we're in the modern world, gathered at this conferring, this launching of great conferring, where people on stage, of course, is great presenting, but it's the synchronicity field, which is we'll speak as though the backstage gods are going, as humans, we're going to have to either kill them or heal them. Let's try healing them first, and let's play to their strong suits of imagination, and let's amp up and increase the field of serendipitous synchronicity, so that each dedicated heart, you know, each act of dedication, strengthens our signal, so we're more likely to run into the right conversation, the right person, the right funding, the right collaboration, because it is time for all allies to convene. So in that story, okay, the snake, cultures that exile the snake end up like us. You know, again, Ceres Demeter, goddess of the earth, presider over the Eleusinian mysteries, the beautiful frieze of her is she has wheat, discipline, sexuality, and the snakes are coming up out of the earth, whispering the underworld soil secrets to her. So Ebola is a snaky virus. You know, and we know from our allies, you know, Paul Stamets and botanists and everything, that nature unleashes viral storms when a predator gets too rude. You know, on innocent beings and caregiving beings, it's poignant that way. But it's, again, part of the exile of the snake and the manners towards the snake and the curve and the cyclical nature of the world and the honoring of that. So we, you know, the Ebola virus was, you know, fine where it was until humans began to encroach, hunting bushmeat and bulldozers. You know, and it's like Steven Buhner, who will be my guest next week on the radio, Plant Intelligence, right during the moment of the eclipse. Whoa, okay. But he reminds us of the incredible intelligence of trees, that they will allow a predator insect to munch on them until it hits a boundary, and then they go, that's it. And then that tree will manufacture the pheromone that will attract the insect that will eat that predator. And meanwhile, it will spread through the neighborhood going, rude, rude insect coming, prepare now, there we go. So, you know, so the quality of language being magic is, again, that quality that we want to go impact, influence, fight, respond, all of our metaphors, too. When our team says we're going to fight, you know, use the tools of the oppressor back, we go, no, we're going to fight that coal plant. We go, no, we're going to compost it. We're going to suck the chi out of it. And exhale it into the desirable. We're going to suck the chi out of kingdom. We're going to suck the chi and the G out of kingdom. Oh, everybody try that. We're sucking the G out of kingdom and exhaling it where it belongs, which is everywhere. And then what that leaves is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So that brings us also to, you know, ally etiquette, you know, manners, as we are agents of the, you know, irresistible, magnetizing, collaborative story, is our manner of relating an imposition serves colonialism and dominance, or an offering serves democracy and freedom and collaboration. So that's a useful thing to take around with us to measure ourselves and others. A tyrannometer, you get to have a tyrannometer in your imaginary gift package tonight. So it's also, you know, we don't want to provoke someone with a limited repertoire of reactions. I like to bring in the sacred teachings of Eddie Izzard, who brings in the sacred teachings of Star Trek. And he says, Star Trek, a very advanced civilization, and yet their phasers only had two settings, stun or kill. And he said, we want to imagine many, many, many more phaser settings, you know, left kettle on at home setting. I will kill you. Oh, wait a minute, God. You know, or more for our team, sudden interest in botany setting. Oh, How wonderful. Now, So many more settings, many more. It's also, you know, in a time of great confabulated mystery right now, we say, let us not impose the tyranny of certainty on liberating mystery. Many stories going on. And part of our strategy, again, the Venus within all of us, says whatever we speak to in another is the part of them we're inviting to dance with the corresponding part of ourselves. You know, which is why we want to discern and be feisty and sizzly and fierce, but not judgmental, which is a prison imposed. In fact, we want more imaginative sentencing and judgments, like judges that throw the I Ching, going, "Oh, I got the fool for you," you know, or "We sentence you to jazz saxophone camp," or you know. Or as the ancient gods used to do when Hercules was destroying the world, the gods got together and sentenced him to go to the underworld to learn knitting and weaving, to weave back together what he'd been sundering. So imagine, you know, Dick Cheney and all those guys and oil people just knitting tea cozies in the underworld, you know. Again, we provide the template, and it doesn't have to be realistic, you know. Situations so dire we can't afford the luxury of realism. You know, we want to just provide many, many, many opportunities and full of, you know, wonder. So it's also, you know, impositional dominance and finger-wagging condescension are signatures of colonialism. You know, we go, we want to, you know, I love to invoke, again, you know, ancestors and also living wise, wise people. How many people here know of Grace Lee Boggs in Detroit? Yes, so wonderful, 97th year. I think she might be older now, wants to live longer. But she says, just being angry is not revolution. Using the violent tools of the oppressor, you know, is to serve the oppressor. You know, Ursula Le Guin says, we strengthen whatever we oppose. We want Aikido, yes, we want that Aikido, which says, you know, do not stare at your enemy's eyes. He will mesmerize you. Do not stare at his weapon. He will frighten you. Create your own field, and then you can sit anywhere you like. And that's by the power of great allies here, great allies everywhere. We're creating a field, a resonance, you know, and a resonant field of... I was reading, again, a conscious parenting article, which was... and it was like, you do not say to your, you know, 2 to 4-year-old, oh, please put on your socks because mommy doesn't want to be late to work. And they go, you don't say that because you're a child. Your 2 to 4-year-old does not have a prefrontal cortex. You go, we're putting on our socks. Yes, here we go. And I think that's how we deal with politicians, because they don't have a pre... Because they don't have a prefrontal cortex either. So we just go, we're cleaning up the environment. Yes, we are. Yes, we're putting on our socks and we're doing... Yes, we are. We're going that way. So it was Grace Lee Boggs also who said that ab portu, it comes from, you know, on deck and ready to go. It's a sailing term. It's from which we get our word opportunity. It's a sailing term. So we're getting ready to, before this evening and then off into the everything, you know, to get ready to set sail, you know, with all of our mojo. And then Venus also playfully, these are from the ancient days of the founding of Code Pink, which I was doing Code Hot Pink because of the response of, you know, the fear-inducing Code Red and so on the Visionary Activist show going, Code Hot Pink, everybody remembers they're all in this dream together. But at that time, and then they had Code Pink dropped the hot because, you know, to be more... something. But we came up with, you know, no nookie for nukes, no pussy for polluters, and put a condom on corporate crime. Anyway, so whimsy. We say, be the bomb, B-A-L-M, B-A-L-M. And just to put on our work table, again, nothing has to be true. We're just putting things out here, too, that all war is a failure of imagination. But again, we are confronted with such complexity. So all peace is a triumph of imagination. We want to go together. We want to go together. It is perfect in the many timings of our beginning, and I'm doing the chart for each one going, to hell with it, it'll happen when it happens, you know. But it is also kind of perfect because when we began, There are metaphoric images for each degree overhead, or each degree of the zodiac. And the degree overhead, as we began, is strange white flowers are blooming in the midnight ruins of Babylon. We go, ooh. We want to turn underneath to the beauty of the Middle East, or the beauty of any place that is Mars, to go for its Venus, which is underneath. There is much beauty in the Middle East underneath all of that. And it brings us to the idea that ideology of any kind, certainty, is a booby prize, because again there are these conundrums, and here's where we come to our magic. So I was reading about the Kurdish women in Kodani, the Kurdish women defending, the Kurdish women who are fierce fighters, the Kurdish women who have been influenced by Murray Bookchin and anarchism. And I go, Murray Bookchin, God, I used to read all of that. That's fantastic. And people and articles in The Guardian saying, what if the Kurdish, you know, upwelling becomes a global model, actually, and these brave women defending themselves against Daesh is the Arabic term. We've called it ISIL and ISIS for whatever reason, but we'll go with it. But their leader, who's serving a life sentence in prison, Abdullah Ocalan, PKK leader, is in Turkey. He said, in my time here, I've composted Marxism, and I've composted the tyrannical ideologies that take us away from nature, and I've composted certainty, and I've completely renounced violence. And what I'm embracing, you know, is the anarchist cooperate with nature kind of model that he's putting out. So the Kurdish women, you know, are fighting, and each time, and they're hip to U.S. imperialism and all the things that we would think, like, oh no, bombing, right? But we're going into complexity that cannot be resolved by past things, which is why we're getting to the magic part, and because it's infinitely complex. You know, the Turkey hates the Kurds, but Assad more ISIL has, or Daesh has hostages. Turkish hostages, there's that. We sort of want Turkey to let the Kurdish fighters through to protect the women and the men in Kodani. Many women have killed themselves rather than to be taken hostage by Daesh. But the Daesh are really freaked out by the women warriors, and they are warriors, because they feel that to be killed by a woman, they wouldn't go to paradise. So the women are broadcasting, going, "We're gonna get you," you know. So on one hand, the women want American bombs, because each time the bombs stop, and the bombs are not very effective, you know, Daesh gets closer. You know, so we do not approve of bombing. So then, what do we do? You know, what do we do as a experimental calling in, as all of our ancestors would known to do? We call in when we don't know what to do. We call in the powerful metaphor. May Isis, the goddess of nature herself, you know, rise up over Kodani, causing the Daesh to go, "Oh my God, I'm going to go study botany." Again, we call in the wrathful Dakinis. Again, all mythic figures, metaphoric animations of intrinsic intelligence in nature. The wrathful Dakinis, very Pluto, very underworld. They are that in nature which metabolizes poison. And it is said that they laugh and dance as they feast on the painful negativity that the unenlightened would take to be, you know, a problem. And so they compost the poison of anger and cook it into the tonic of wrath, which is fierce protection of life. Arr! You know, they compost the poison of seduction and cook it into the tonic of magnetism, bring everything alive. So since we were given the ISIS, it was curious to hear ISIS in the news so often. And for years I've had on my car a bumper sticker that goes, "ISIS, ISIS, rah, rah, rah." And some people are like, "You might want to take that down." And then 16-year-olds going to a friend of mine, 16-year-old party, going, "Why does your neighbor support terrorism?" And I was going, Oh, mythological illiteracy. But then they actually came to me, and then I got to say, "No, ISIS is any young woman like your beautiful selves in her full power." And they're like, "Oh, cool." So rather than get grumpy, go mythological educating. But in the ISIS, but there's a very important thing, since ISIS has served to us. In the ISIS Osiris myth, there's a there's the evil brother Set, who's always killing Osiris. But there's a terrible moment where the horses of the sun have run loose, and the chariot of the sun is running wild, and the whole earth is going to be caught up in conflagration, and the gods go to each different deity and each different quality and animal and plant and everything. Can you help? No, no, no. Finally, the only being they can ask is the baddest bad guy, Set. And they go, Set, will you help us save the world? And he's like, sure, you bet. Oh, and he saves the world. So sometimes we have to talk to the baddest bad guy, which is why part of our cahooting beginning and increasingly collaborative will be in Oakland and also Nevada City, but is our change of heart tour. In almost all mythology and life itself, there's myths, there's fairy tales, more intimate, and then there's detective novels. And the earliest detective novels go back to 223 BC. It's a very old impulse, and it is mythological. It's diving into the underworld, in which the great detective would dive into the underworld to restore human affairs to be in accord with the mandate of heaven. We go, ah. But they almost always encounter a bad person, a highwayman, a murderer. Remember, in Tibetan Buddhism, the great saint, Milarepa, was a murderous highwayman thug. So in the detective novels, you know, Judge D will encounter a highwayman, but because of the field, because of the resonant field of dedicated goodness, the bad person says, I want to change teams. I don't want to be in the finite game. Remember, finite game is about winning. Infinite game is about keeping everything in play. I want to be in the infinite game with you, but I have underworld skills that you need, right? So we do. We want the underworld skills dedicated over here, which is why all of us is engaged in being dedicated in whatever opportunity we magnetize to be, you know, the all-inclusive magnetizing story. We're going over here. We're putting on our socks. Yes, this is where we're going. You know, the irresistible, so that we are ready to assume cultural narrative lead, so we're not just reacting like, oh, my God. We're going, and that's, again, part of the gathering at this conference at Bioneers is, you know, to assume cultural narrative lead, because no one minds being asked, did you know? Did you know that... You know, I mean, all of Paul Stamets' work is so good that way. Did you know that oyster mushrooms can clean up, you know, diesel oil spills? And, you know, no, I didn't know that. Did you know that all war is a failure of imagination? No, yeah, now that you mention it. I've gotten warmongers to come to that, actually, you know, that the only solution to terrorism is a wonderful life for all children. You know, you can get there. You can get there, again, holding that. But in one of the Judge D detective novels, the bad guy says, my knowledge of the tricks and ruses of the underworld, you need them, and I have them. Yeah, we want computer hackers, and we want the yes men, and we want hijinks. So we also want to call upon the beauty of the Middle East underneath there. You know, so much in love with Syria, so beautiful, even under dictatorship once recently. Very recently, but in talking to my great ally, Deborah Felmuth, you know, keeping Syria as an intimate and beautiful place in our minds, you know, both before this conflagration, during it, and leading the way out, may the women, especially in the realm of art. But in Syria, intrinsically in the Middle East, just again, it reminds us, the oppressor actually seeks the medicine of what he is oppressing. The colonizer seeks and needs the medicine of the colonized, not consciously. You know, England needed the metaphysic of India. America needs the beauty and complexity of the Middle East because it's full of blessing. You know, may it go well for you. Each day is woven together. You don't say the tedious question, hey, how's it going, which costs nothing to ask but everything to answer. It's like, you say, what color are you today? And the answer is, alhamdulillah, all praise the divine. And then you begin a blessing exchange. You know, may orange blossoms waft around your feet as you go forth on your enterprise and you magnetize all that you need. And the other person will say, again, like blessing poker, I see your poker, I see your blessing and raise you one. And may orange blossoms and pomegranate blossoms waft around you and all of your ancestors embrace you and bless all of it back and forth. So blessing poker. So maybe you will honor us with a blessing poker or of anything that you want to do.
Your smile is like water. I feel showered, baptized,
stone cut.
Your traveling lips leaves my ugliness weathered.
Every breath you take is on time.
I've been waiting my whole life to find myself in you.
You
whose eyes count the syllables
of stars.
Catch raindrops in your palm before they fall.
You
hold the question
to life's answer.
Dance your way blind through the mist, and even though my arms aren't wide enough to hold you,
I know you
will rise to the surface. Clinging strings tied to folded birds you sculpted out of paper.
Cause the skyscrapers we build of ourselves
crash like airplanes on television stations. But you've been tasting perfection,
teaching me how to move with direction.
Deflecting gravity,
you rise in defiance, bend hallelujahs without feathers.
Every breath you take looks like mine.
And I wonder if
God shaped us from the same clay, thought us up at the same time. Cause the lines on your hand blueprint the cracks in the land
I trace to find you.
You tap dance bottle caps all the way to the framed entrance of my door.
Found me with your song
inside my bones, stone cut.
I was the diamond in the sky that guided you.
X'd out your map before it reached me.
Leave me in the middle of your desert, and I will translate your language
before you speak it.
Because it's in me
and all the past that built it.
I love you
like we go way back,
like our great 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 grandmothers wove quilts together, like our ancestors shared silverware, like our angels
wear the same shade of black.
So when they whisper into the darkness to kiss our faces, plant seeds in our fists,
the FBI don't see them coming.
I love you
like sundown, cause you bled fire into the deepest hours, survived the depth of the dark water,
kept coming back again.
Your legs have carried the weight of footsteps so heavy,
memory alone could not attest to it.
Your strength, the only evidence of those days you stole the sunset,
gathered 10,000 fragments,
which later reconstructed those deep places
I deemed non-existent, even though
each carried a beat that echoed
like a hole had been carved into it.
And you made me listen to that sound until your words described in music
showed me how to dance
to what I thought was broken.
You gave me back my heart
and taught me how to use it.
You,
with your arms so wide,
you might take flight.
I've been tying kite strings to your imagination,
hoping to find my way again.
I was pretending.
I didn't notice you beneath your eyelids,
but my lips
knew your name before you spoke. I wrote this poem before your eyes opened.
I know
your breath looks like mine.
Cause you've been running in me,
I've been running in you.
You have fallen and I have woken to find myself broken.
Tokens of me have nickeled across the floorboards where you have tiptoed back to fix my bones.
While I was dreaming of your birth,
your mother's womb wide open,
I loved her first,
so my love lasts two generations past.
Your syllables tattooed the Tower of Babel, spilled language only presently conjure up when I'm praying in tongues.
And for the times yet to come,
I love you.
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 I love you all the way in the back. I love you.
I love you.
I love you too.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Even if we haven't met yet,
even if our footsteps never overlapped,
my happiness is anchored to your thread.
We are weaving in and out of each other's breath,
fed by the same sun.
I made up my mind to love you.
You who carries the moon in your smile,
you
with your ocean eyes,
you with your deep earth eyes,
you with your autumn eyes and snowflake palms, cut perfection to the space carved out for your song.
I made up my mind to love you.
Caressed your palms until I felt them
bloom with summer,
spring, rain, fall down on me. I am carrying you,
reaching for you through inches on the subway,
tracing
your distance
back into something recognizable
like a heartbeat.
I am the womb and you are inside me.
I am your daughter
and you realize me into existence.
We're all in this dream together, so you are the Alixa and Naima, part of all of us that again says presume love in the other. We take that with us in our magic backpacks. And also just a random wonderful person on Facebook said, remember when life gives you demons, make demonade. We go, yes, that too. That too, with spice and wit and love and sincerity and dedication and mixing it up. And see, to become unexpected changes the entire dance. If it's rah, 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 all it takes is one person to change, you know, to liberate everybody from a dance step that isn't pleasant. So we go, yes. I love the phrase Lewis Hyde says, coyote becomes more cunning by encountering cunning. The country rube is lucky if enough con men show up to school her. Well, we're really lucky, because again, that quality of ingenuity. You know, and then Lewis Hyde says the whole history of predator-prey relations on this planet and brain size, and again, this wonderful ally Michael Stalker says, it's not just size, it's we want our brains to be convoluted with folds, because when we encounter something difficult and it draws upon our ingenuity, our brain folds and we have more brain surface, which is great cunning and intelligence. So we go, what if now is a great evolutionary opportunity to inspire our ingenuity to expand in an ever-expanding repertoire of responses? You know, we say to react is not free, you know, but to carry around a portable prison for ourselves and others, to cultivate an ever larger repertoire of responses is to be partnered with nature's evolutionary ingenuity. And we go, yes, that way. So as Lewis Hyde says, you know, if we go back 60,000 years, you know, predator brain much larger and maybe more convoluted than prey. And then we come forward 30,000 years, everybody's smarter. Predator still larger brain, they're not, but everybody's smarter. And then we come forward, you know, and everybody's smarter, predator still larger brain. But he says, what if, you know, again, the predator-prey relationship is indeed one of the great engines of evolution on this planet. But as Darwin came to understand in his elegant and misquoted writings, there was something missing from that. And what, because what it does not account for is altruism, kindness, compassion, self-sacrifice. And that's where this beautiful astrological language chimes in and says, Neptune. Neptune represents, it's called the higher octave of Venus, the understanding that we're all in this dream together, and we're all dreaming it together. You know, and as Reverend Ike says, if we can dream it up, we can dream it down, right, and then come up with another one. But it's a useful frame to go, whatever we meet, we're meeting the this part of ourselves. And so we are no longer outsourcing what we've been insourcing. We've been outsourcing leadership to incompetent sociopathic dingbats, you know, until now, where we're insourcing again and defining what is a wise leader, and each one being leader. But again, what measures any spiritual or philosophical or scientific thing is anything is valid now to the degree to which it guides each person to their own autonomy. You know, believe nothing, entertain possibilities, but entertain them. You know, Neptune, as we begin, some good news, again, where the divine is trying to help us out. Neptune represents how a culture tells itself its own story through images and music and poetry, as all previous cultures understood key leadership dynamic. So Neptune is also the invisible, foggy tendrils that guide molecular reality that you can't see, but you can feel it. So Neptune right now, for the first time in 165 years, is in its realm of Pisces, the realm of all-powerful songs, poetry, bards, music, not just humans, animals, everything, powerful imagery. It's there. It's all available to us. You know, and so Neptune says to each person, imagine that the most exiled, you know, shamed, alone, quirky part of you is about to be completely welcome. Like, whoa. Exile over, ali ali income free. You know, because Neptune in its radical nature, Neptune, Pisces, and other parts of the 12th house part of astrological language represent what a culture has dissed, exiled, undervalued, imprisoned, but said to be where a culture's soul or its replenishing vision lives. So it says, oh humans, don't be distracted by obvious visible celebrity hoo-ha. Look at what's missing. That's where the real action is. So again, it's that part that now says, you know, ali ali income free, coming on in. So After the beginning of the ongoing Gulf ecocide, there was a very powerful TEDx conference on oil in the Gulf. And it was like a tarot card. All the great ocean scientists from around the world were there, and they were all weeping. The scientists were weeping. So again, heart, intellect there. But there was a great guy, Rick Gallo, whom I also then had on the radio, who was wonderful, one of the very few deep, deep, deep ocean scientists. And he said, the depth of the ocean is more teeming with life than rainforests. There's waterfalls and rivers and teeming. And yes, we humans have done terrible things. But he said, but remember, at the very bottom of the sea are these vents of biogenesis that are just, you know, just blowing new life into the world all the time. So there's new life at the very bottom of the sea. So we're calling for language and metaphor, metaphoric linguistic biogenesis. Because if our language is unexpected, it liberates everybody. Anything that is expected, there's a prison ready made for it, which is also why, you know, any IST word is dodgy. You know, I mean, I'm stuck with the visionary activist show, and it's good, it's fine, you know, whatever, but even environmentalists, we might call environmentalists sane reverent people, had this to say today, you know, and the Congress came out against sane reverent people, going, oh, that's so surprising. You know, so, you know, calling it in, changing words up. You know, and again, simple things. I love quoting, you know, Swami Vivekananda, ally Steve Behrman, saying, the answer to the drug problem, improve reality. You know, we go, yes. And that's pretty much also the answer to everything, really. You know, the answer to the immigration problem, improve reality for all beings wherever they live. You know, again, this declaration, these common sense things. It was Reuben Snake I first heard say, you know, here's a little bit of Native American wisdom. If we don't change our direction, we're likely to end up where we're headed. So these are simple things, but weaving again beauty and, you know, and we're all in this dream together, because once we change things into a symbolic form, it provides a whole other avenue, a whole other realm of influence. And again, we are becoming decolonized, so we remember this. You know, once something is an image, we can shapeshift into an appropriate image. The thing I always use, but here it is again, sourdough starter. You know, it was spiritual woman estranged from her son for a long time. They hadn't spoken, and she was like, no. She asked for a dream, invited in a dream, and she saw in the dream an octopus wrapped around her son's heart. So she did not go into years of expensive Jungian therapy. She, in her mind's eye, shapeshifted into a dolphin that swam up and butted gently against the octopus until, in her mind's eye, it let go and swam away. And in 2 hours, after years of silence, her son called, saying, this is so silly, let's work it out. So if we can translate into an image, we can shapeshift and experiment with the effectiveness. You know, I ran into, at Amazon Watch last night, a great ally who had been working with the Uwa people, and some of these stories I love so much, I have to go, this was really right? Oh, and she actually embellished it. She came up to me and she said, you know, years ago how you were saying that all ritual is literalized metaphor, and that in Santeria, if somebody's behaving badly, you write their name on a piece of paper and you put it in an ice cube tray and you put it in the freezer to cool them out. And I go, yeah, I do remember telling people to do that, which is why at my house I often say, no, not that ice cube tray. Whoa, and no telling. There's a lot of projects going on there. And she said, well, we did it. We did it for the Standard Oil guy, and it really cooled him out. But that came after the medicine of the Uwa people, who were so distressed at Occidental about to destroy their lands that at first they thought they would kill themselves or they would resort to violence. And they were like, no, that is not in accord with how we live. That is contrary to our nature. What is deepest to our nature? Go deeper into the magic of what we know. So they did ceremony, and they asked the oil to hide. And Stan Occidental came and did 3 drills, came up dry, packed up, and left. You know, it's like what we spoke of last year, but it's still holding good. But again, cooperators are standing by. They'd like us to cooperate with us. You know, we remember from last summer, a year ago, you know, in the Arctic, that Chevron put its oil rig up, And, you know, friends of my allies were there, you know, going, you know, calling on the spirit of the Arctic itself, going, because the model is, one model is, you know, cooperators are standing by, you know, the divine, the gods, the forces of nature would like to help, but spiritual etiquette requires that they be invited in some way. We invite Pele to disrupt this. We invite. So they were going, and on the horizon, clear ocean, this giant iceberg appeared and went dum-dum, 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 straight for the Chevron drilling rig, causing the scientists to go, this is most unexpected. Whoa, we're skedaddling. And then the tugboat to tow it broke down, the tugboat broke down, and then the EPA boarded them and cited them for environmental whatever. So we go, yeah, more of that. More of that. Again, more calling on the mythic figures. Experiment. Try this at home. All kinds of things. But it's also in that realm of embracing everything. We dream the Israeli parts of ourselves, you know, at war with the, you know, oppressing the Palestinian parts of ourselves. And just a little sideline, too. Part of our dynamic is discourage, encourage. You know, mirror, this sucks. Wave of the hand, mirror into window, look how beautiful it could be. Wave of the hand into a door, let's go there. So we discourage this, we encourage that. We discourage, you know, in politicians, on the news, I mean, with other people, whatever. So, you know, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, wonderful, great humans, terrible on Palestine and Israel, going, well, Israel had to kill those people. And so progressives were like, well, boo on them. And we go, yes, but we don't throw them out. We discourage that, but encourage this. You know, so the Israeli-Palestinian parts of ourselves, the child refugee parts of ourselves, imagine them making beauty and music and art together. So we have blessing poker, but beauty poker, you know, from each realm. Here's an act of beauty and poetry and poems and music from our culture. That is beautiful. Here's an even more beautiful poem from our culture. Ooh, that is beautiful. We want to catalyze these things. They want to happen. You know, when I was visiting years ago, Palestinian refugee camp, in Syria, this wonderful 96-year-old woman who still sad at what she had to leave when suddenly she had to leave her home and her pantry and her sewing machine and everything. But she said, we don't want gloomy activists coming over here deriving status from our suffering. We want beauty and art and puppets and theater and music. You know, and we go, yes. You know, so as we... So we're diving again to this powerful, you know, October 23rd, and people go, oh, Mercury's retrograde, and we go, well, yes, there are many kerfuffles, and, you know, machines and electronics go crazy. I think partly it's about manners, too. I mean, Martine Prechtel says, was the oil in the ground invited to become plastic? Was the plastic invited to become a computer? You know, these things that were not invited, were not honored with respect, you know, they will rebel at these times and go, you know, so that's part of it. And Mercury retrograde is return, redeem, remember, respect. The word respect means to look at again. You know, again, with Aretha, it's respect. Look again, until you find beauty or something to love as you are guiding us to over there. So Mercury retrograde, again, return, reflection, you know, gather, remember what we've been doing, remember our journey of the last 12 years, part of a Jupiter cycle. It says, whatever each one of us wanted to do 12 years ago, it wasn't time, you weren't ready, we weren't ready, now we're ready, you know, and everything's behind us. So this eclipse is a precise new moon, but again, with Venus in the underworld. You know, the Venus cycle is when she's so close to the sun, it's called Venus in the underworld, gathering mojo for the next stage of culture. I mean, there's many mythological variants, but gathering mojo for the culture of Renaissance. So, but this is a spectacular lineup, really, at 2:57 p.m. in California on Thursday, October 23rd, right before Mercury goes direct on the 25th. So we're gathering our bardic skills, we're gathering our wits, we're backstage, we're in the green room, powerful, powerful moment of dedication. Again, moon, sun, Venus, exactly lined up, in the underworld. So again, in this underworld realm of gathering all mojo, and remembering that in the invisible realm is where the action is happening now. I mean, we're doing lots of great things, but the invisible world is the causative world at the moment. You know, so that's why we wonder, and when we don't know what to do, we call in, you know, and even whatever is best for everyone involved, come on in, is sufficient. You know, and there is this strong call and response, this deep dedication, the whole realm of back channels. And also, you know, the devil in tarot cards makes a hand gesture that means all that you see is all there is. And it means the devil's not a boogity-boogity, you know, figure. It's just if we can be snookered into feeling that all that we see is all there is, we have every right to be self-sabotaging and depressed. So we go, but there's this powerful moment of dedication. Do you have a dedicated poem, a poem whereby everybody can feel their dedication deep, deep down, which will strengthen everyone's signal so that we can magnetize the opportunities to be of greatest good? Yes?
Absolutely.
Oh, goody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If we are the truth we seek, let us speak what we know to be, 'cause history is written by the victors and news is broadcast by the captors. Our desires are manufactured and our self-image is backlit by the glow of the TV and newspaper captions. Our inner children been kidnapped and are being held captive in classrooms that teach us that life's a transaction. And you can purchase democracy. And we got equal access to living in this building whose foundation is cracking. 'Cause the steeple was built in the basement. And the slave quarters were fractions of the whole picture of an equation whose math was done backwards, then passed down through teachings that couldn't preach what they practiced. So they used double speak to keep us distracted
with addiction,
strip malls,
pop stars,
and fashion. And new gadgets that make our eyes avoid contact. In a world where truth is hidden, silence is complacency. Our hush is complicit in the explosions and gunshots, the free trade and screams, the slamming shut cell blocks and chainsaws
against grandfather trees,
demolition balls, levee breaks, the gasping to breathe. In a world where fear is spoken, terror follows. So we spit verses to reverse the lies we refuse to swallow. Form our words
in the shape
of our revelation for tomorrow. This tomorrow has no name, but we are calling her forth. This tomorrow
is not the same
as yesterday, but she is as ancient as the world. We are ready for light. We are ready to live, ready to hold each other
against the rim of
existence. 'Cause they
who build concrete
against the corners of our hearts need to feel our resistance like a million tender blades of grass cracking sidewalks apart. Reminding your runaway child, there is no place that love cannot find you. There is no place that love cannot find you. There is no place that love cannot find you. So trace back the path that you came from. I, you and you, you and I, we all came from the same one. And if the captors,
slave masters,
newscasters, and war benefactors knew a love like ours, they would go thirsty with their lives and come to us for lost magic in their memory. And we will feed them
when they come to us
on their knees, way down from weaponry, begging forgiveness and water. And we will share our medicine until they weep at the resemblance of our faces. They will remember our names and their numbers
will crumble
to dust, bankrupt. Their blood money will be as worthless as their guns.
And with time,
our never endings
will rewrite new beginnings
that start with imagine how free we can get if fill in that space.
Love is the opposite of fear. Be loved.
Don't be afraid.
We were only tricked into believing that our believing isn't enough and that there isn't enough to go around. But our trust
gave me the courage
to challenge their truth as a bluff. Their fiction is empty. The hunger is growing like stomachs swollen and rumbling. Revolution is a whisper that hears you coming. So ask. The answer is yes. No matter the question, so let it be peace
that echoes in our breath.
Exhale your soul's intention. Let your truth
spread like wind and water
rippling out in all directions. We are the unfolding. The universe is our reflection.
Perfect. It's perfect because also Jupiter says as storytellers, we want a five-act structure. Act one is here we are. Act two is away. Act three is oops. Act four is evil. Act five is the kiss, the wedding, the redemption. So we got to go all the way down to the underworld and you take us there really well and then back up to the fifth house. So back up to the fifth act. So we know the opening of the Odyssey, which is a story about how we journey home from war, begins with sing to me, O muse, and through me tell the story. So everybody with dedicated hearts, let's say it together. Sing to me, O muse, and through me tell the story. One more time. Sing to me, O muse, and through me tell the story. Again, there's a lot of call and response here. Jupiter's about wealth. Just a few little quips about wealth as we go towards our fifth act finale. But a friend says, I don't know if this is true, but I think it's witty, and every great family fortune has its roots in felony. So there's a lot of good money laundering going on at Bioneers. That's excellent, the descendants. You know. And then Brecht said, what is the robbing of a bank compared to the founding of a bank? You know. And Pretty Boy Floyd, who was a kind of Robin Hood figure, said, some will rob you with a shotgun and some with a fountain pen. And then there's a great song about Pretty Boy Floyd. They tell you of a stranger come to beg a meal and underneath his napkin left a $1,000 bill. Going, you never know. You never know. Great story from Barbara Whitestone, wonderful ancestral ally of this conference. But she was working with the Lakota grandmothers and raising money so they could be warm. A man came up to one of the grandmothers saying, I really wish I could have money, give you money, but I don't really have any, but here's my story. And she goes, that's fine. He goes, no, here's my story. I went to a sweat lodge, and I really wanted money to give to you, and that was my dedication in the sweat lodge, and I was walking down the street, and the police picked me up, and it was a case of mistaken identity, and they locked me in a jail cell, and I was lying down on the mattress, and I was like, wow, what's this in the mattress? And the mattress was stuffed with money. So I lined my pants with it, and they let me go because they realized it was a mistake, and I walked out of the jail cell with about $20,000 in my pants, and I thought, wow, I could really pay off a lot, but then I promised it was dedicated to you, so here's $20,000 from the jail for the grandmothers of Lakota, and we go, yes. So do we have a short solution poem, a shortish solution poem, or a solution poem? What? Okay, we have a solution poem which brings us to our finale after a few words right afterwards. But that would be great now. Yeah.
Thank you all so much for being such a phenomenal. I don't even want to call you an audience, participants, activators, as we build this cultural narrative together.
Yes.
Whoever told you you can't fly was afraid of heights you'd reach if you tried. You better free your mind before they illegalize thought. There's a war going on. The first casualty was truth, and it's inside you. The universe is counting on our belief that faith is more powerful than fear. And in that shifting moment, we'll all remember why we're here. We were born right now for a reason.
We can be whatever.
We give ourselves the power to be. And right now,
we need
dream weavers, bridge builders,
truth sayers,
light bearers, food growers, wound healers,
trailblazers,
life lovers, peacemakers. Give what you most deeply desire to give. Every moment
you are choosing
to live, or you are waiting. Why would a flower hesitate to open? Now is the only moment.
Raindrop,
let go. Become the ocean. Possibility
is as wide
as the space we create to hold it. We were born
right now for a reason.
The reason is up to you.
Just think,
if so much is controlled by so few,
imagine
how much so many of us could all do
when you consider
this system
runs off of our fuel.
If we stop running along, we see just who's ruling who.
The game don't exist
if we don't play by its rules.
So don't be scared of the spark
in the spell of great darkness,
or afraid
of the light
in the moment of dawning,
or the heights
you will reach
when you rise
to your calling.
And release all your rain,
call it flying or falling.
Let go
of your want
and give in
to your longing,
to live free of possessions
and full of belonging
to the intricate infinites.
We're all a part of the web
that you wove
in a dream
you'd forgotten
was the creator
awakening
into our conscience.
Condensation
of vapor
into a droplet
of water.
So we're just going to finish with our mudras. We know from Ferguson, you know, hands up, don't shoot, okay? But then we take it into, we are wondering, without bonking your neighbor, we are wondering, and we are willing. And we know that visioning the future brings us into collaborative intimacy with that. And to seal the deal of our willingness to cooperate with the guiding ingenuity of all the beautiful animals and floras that we like, let us just howl and woof and yip and caw-caw our availability to dance. Thank you, Climbing Poetry, Naima Penniman and Alexa Garcia. I'm Caroline Casey, thanking you for doing this good work. Thank you, team. Mwah.
Thank you all so much for spending these 2 hours with us, and want to let you know that this is the first of 3 shows that Caroline, Casey, and Climbing Poetry are doing together in cahoots throughout California. Yes, increasingly experimental. So we'll be together again in Oakland this Tuesday at the Impact Hub on Broadway, and then again the following day on Wednesday the 22nd in Nevada City at the Haven Underground. So we have flyers for the Oakland show here. We have a table in the back with business cards that lead you to our website where you can see the address and information. Both shows are from 7 to 10. That's this Tuesday and Wednesday. And we hope that you can join us again or tell your comrades in the Bay Area and in Nevada City to come through for more magnetizing metaphor
into matter. And also, I'll be at Open Secret on the Eclipse Night, October 23rd, 7:30 p.m. For those who want to come cahoot council, I will be solo. They will be flying to Brooklyn. There we go. Thank you, team.
Thank you.